Good evening and welcome to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty with Jace Demon. Primetime Sports is brought to you by Hornbachers. Get exclusive offers, track your rewards, and shop online at hornbachers.com. As we enter Easter weekend here, we'll have, of course, tonight's show, and Friday night we will have a best of, just due to the nature of Good Friday, Easter weekend, trying to enjoy a little bit more time with family. So we appreciate you, the listener, for supporting us each and every night, and hopefully you, if you're tuning in on Friday evening, and whether it's after a church service, maybe you're just traveling to visit family, maybe you're just hanging out at home, we'll have a best of for you ready to rock and roll tomorrow evening, which should be a fun replay of one of our more exciting shows, whether we're talking about my trip to D.C., whether it's about deer hunting, whether it's about Dragon football signing classes, Bison football players being drafted, the expansion possibilities from different sports, whether you're talking the WNBA, the NBA, the NHL, anything else in between. So you'll be surprised at the best of some of the prime content from prime time sports tomorrow evening. So tonight, though, wanted to just start getting that push into the postseason, whether you're going to talk NHL, NBA, specifically with the Wild, since they're playing against an eliminated team in the Vancouver Canucks tonight. They have a handful of games left in the regular season, 8 to be exact at that for the Wild. I think it's a good spot to look at and see. What's kind of funny is actually a lot of the teams from around the NHL that are more or less solidified as postseason teams, mm-hmm. are not necessarily playing their best hockey as of right now. They're laboring through to stay healthy. They're trying to get to the postseason and just stay as healthy as possible. They're giving guys a night or two off. There are guys that are banged up that are getting a night or two off. And so just for example, the Wild, who sit, of course, how the NHL works, the top three teams out of each division get a berth into the postseason, and they end up on the same side of a bracket. Then it's between the two divisions in each league, it's the two next highest point getters that are the quote-unquote wild cards that play the respective top seed out of each division, right? So you could end up with, let's say, five teams out of the Central and three out of the Pacific this year. You could end up with four out of each, five out of the Pacific, three out of the Central. I anticipate that we're probably going to be looking at 4-4. We may get to 5-3 for the Central specifically, but I think that we're probably leaning towards 4-4 as of right mm-hmm. now, but you have a couple of teams that are kind of flirting with postseason aspirations. So, for example, for the most part, you think that you have your three Pacific teams pretty well solidified. Anaheim leads their division at 87 points with 7 games to go. Edmonton's 2 points behind them at 85 with 7 games to go. Vegas has 82 points with 7 games to go. LA, the Kings, who are in the wild card hunt or possibly that third divisional spot, they're at 78 points with a game in hand on those three teams. San Jose is at 77 points with 2 games in hand. And then Seattle is at 75 with also 2 games in hand on those top three teams out of their division. Calgary is a sitting duck at this point. They got 70 points with 8 games to go for them. I don't anticipate them making a push into the postseason at this point the last couple of weeks. It's just too much ground to make up. I mean, you're talking, you got to make up at the minimum 7 points plus tiebreakers on San Jose and or Nashville from the Central Division. I just don't see that happening for them. From the Central Division, just to give you kind of a look at where we're at as we enter play tonight, Colorado, the Avalanche, one of two teams in not just the Central Division, not just the Western Conference, but all the NHL entering play tonight to have clinched a playoff berth, actually.
Yeah.
They have an NHL leading 108 points, and they have 8 games left to go here this season. And then right below them, with one less game to play with 7 games to go in the regular season, is the Dallas Stars, who have also, they're the other team in the NHL that have clinched a playoff berth. They have 100 points in total. The Wild have a game in hand on Dallas, but trailing by 6 points. at 94 on the year. The Wild clinch a playoff berth with a win tonight. I mean, just outright.
Well, yeah. And
a win of any sort. So that's reassuring for them. And then just for the standing purposes, the rest of the Central Division, I'm just going to cut you loose for a couple minutes and let you go buck wild. Utah's in fourth. They have 82 points with eight games to go. Nashville in fifth with 77 points. Of course, based off of how things are going right now, they basically are the last team out, quote-unquote, Nashville would be, but they have a game. Or excuse me, they have a point to make up with the LA Kings, who are currently sitting in that quote-unquote wild card two spot. So there's always a possibility for them. A point behind Nashville is Winnipeg at 76 points with eight games to go. St. Louis also has 74 points with eight games to go. And then Chicago is right now the sluggish team with 68 points with seven games to go for them. I anticipate Chicago also too far gone to make a push. But you're looking at really the top three teams in the Central are solidified. I think Utah has solidified themselves personally. I think they need a pretty bad fall off in order to miss out on the postseason. But at the same point, you're talking about they have a five-point lead on two teams that are in the hunt that are outside of the postseason, and they all have eight games to go. So you basically have a five-point lead with eight games to go. You could definitely lose that if you slow up. And for the Mammoth, they're 4-5-1 in the last 10 overall. At the same point, it's interesting how for the Central Division specifically, we're talking about seven out of the eight teams still having a chance at a wild card, considering you have three teams that are in the hunt outside of the postseason as of right now that are within 4 points of a postseason spot with eight games to go, which just muddies up the waters for who the respective top seeds in each division.
Yeah.
I'm almost guaranteeing Colorado gets the top overall seed in the Western Conference.
Oh, that's clinched
and
already.
The top seed out of the Pacific Division, it's up in the air at this point with Anaheim, Edmonton, and Vegas. Anaheim, of course, the favorite with a two-point lead with seven games to go for them. Edmonton is 2 points behind. They could catch lightning in a bottle. They're playing the best hockey of not just anybody in their division, but anybody in the West, as Edmonton's 1-4 straight at this point. So it's also kind of funny because in the Pacific Division, the only team with a positive plus-minus happens to be Edmonton. Vegas, as of tonight, is neutral. In the division leaders in Anaheim, they're -8 in the goal differential, but they're 41-29-5. So when they lose, they lose.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, like I said, I'm positive Colorado's top seed in the West. They've got 108 points. Dallas.
They're probably going to win the President's Cup.
Yeah,
I mean,
Dallas technically does have a chance if Colorado drops off, but I was looking kind of between Colorado and Anaheim, the division leader in the Pacific. Because like you said, the best teams in the West are all in the Central Division. I mean, our fourth place team, Utah, at 82 points is leading the wild card. And when you look at the wild card spot, so you've got Vegas at 82, who's in the third spot in the Pacific. You've got L.A., San Jose behind them at 78 and 77. So those two teams could technically catch them, but they would have to have Vegas fall off. When I look at this, my first thoughts are going into the wild card positions, I think it would be probably beneficial to the league in some ways, James, if Utah and a team like San Jose got in as wild cards this year for a couple of factors. San Jose has had some really good teams at times. I remember when I lived in Northern California, San Jose was really coming on as a potential cup contender. They were fun to watch. There was a lot of guys on that team I enjoyed watching. And they've had some down years for a long time now. I mean, I know they made another Western Conference Finals run. I don't remember if that was 5, 6, 7 years ago. But it'd be good to see them kind of move up and get a chance at the playoffs and kind of reignite that fan base out there a little bit, especially with Macklin Celebrini out there, who's getting some talk about, you know, maybe even the NHL MVP. So,
which is bananas.
It is bananas.
Still, I think he's still awaiting his 21st birthday.
I think so. then Utah. I think that's a good story. This is the first, the second year in Utah, the first with an actual mascot. Before, they were just Utah Hockey Club after moving fairly quickly from Phoenix up to Utah, although technically they probably were in, I don't remember if they were in Glendale or what other suburb up there or in Phoenix they were located at. But I think it'd be good for Utah to make the playoffs to kind of help solidify that fan base up there, because a lot of times when these teams over the course. I mean, the NHL to me has been the league that has had the most teams alter where they're located at compared to maybe the NBA. And I think it'd be good if Utah made the playoffs and kind of helped solidify them amongst that fan base there. So I think that would be interesting. I think when you look at the Pacific, you know, Anaheim leads it. They played 75. They're at 87. Edmonton, 75 games. They're at 85 points. Vegas at 82 points. That division, to some extent, is still wide open to be taken by anybody if you can play better down the stretch. And those top three teams out there, they're over their last 10 have not been impressive. Anaheim 5-3-2, Edmonton a bit better at 6-3-1, and then Vegas at 4-4-2. Vegas is kind of not where they're accustomed to being, but of course that Vegas fan base has gotten a bit spoiled with how successful that team's been from the jump. So I really think that, of course, now I just accidentally moved away from what I was looking at on my phone. When you look at the standings in the NHL, I just think that it looks like that Pacific Division is wide open to be taken by anybody, especially in the playoffs, the way it's formatted. And it, quite honestly, it could really, really benefit Utah potentially making the playoffs as a top wild card and ending up in a series against Anaheim, then facing the winner of currently Vegas and Edmonton. I mean, that might give the Mammoth an opportunity to realistically think about making the Western Conference Finals against Colorado, Dallas, or Minnesota, because if you're in the Pacific right now, you got to think, look, all we got to do is make the playoffs and win a couple of series against division foes that we're used to playing against, and we could easily see ourselves in the Western Conference Finals. So we'll see if that can actually happen. But I think the winner of the Western Conference, realistically, unless somebody from the Pacific, like their goaltender, just starts standing on his head, is fantastic. I think you're going to see Colorado, Dallas, or Minnesota. And as the seasons progress, especially after the Olympic break, I should say, I wouldn't say that I'm not as high on Minnesota. I just think they've been playing pretty average after the All-Star break. I mean, if you look at their last 10 as of most recent, they're 4-5-1, which is a game behind Colorado, who's 5-4-1, and then Dallas is 3-5-2 over their last 10. So the top three teams in that division, the Central Division, as you said, are kind of playing more for preparing for the playoffs more so than anything. Those three teams have, for a long time now, have very well solidified themselves as playoff teams. But I don't like teams not playing their best heading into playoffs. And it's relating it over to locally to the USHL. Now, my daughter and I have made it to the last four home games of the Force, where they've gone 1-3, and they had one weekend away in Des Moines where they split. So that's 2-4 over their last six games. And as much talent and as good as that Fargo Force team can be, I don't like them playing at this level towards the end of the season, especially when teams like Lincoln, Sioux City, even Sioux Falls in that one game have kind of showed that they can beat the Force, and they give the Force some problems because, you know, those physical teams always seem to give the Force a really hard time. So if I'm a Minnesota Wild fan, I want these last eight games, in a sense, not necessarily saying that they need to go 8-0, but I would like to see them out of their last eight win like six or something like that and really feel like they're progressing and playing well down the stretch. And I know their schedule, if I'm not mistaken, is tough down the stretch, correct?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of divisional matchups the last handful of games of the year for the Wild. Just for example, you play Vancouver tonight,
yeah,
and then that begins a stretch of, you've got multiple back to backs to wrap up the regular season. So, including tonight, the Wild with eight games to go. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep, 8 games to go in the regular season. So, this evening you host Vancouver, then you hit the road for a back to back Saturday and Sunday in Ottawa and Detroit. Next week on Tuesday you host Seattle before hitting the road for three division matchups, which is a Thursday night primetime Hulu game next Thursday, a week from today, April 9th, which is at Dallas, which is a potential playoff preview, more likely than not a playoff preview,
definitely
honestly.
Definitely playoff preview, yeah.
Then Saturday night, you're at Nashville, who is playing for their lives.
Yep.
You then, the following Monday, the 13th, you're at St. Louis, who is also playing for their lives, but may very well be out of it by then, too.
But they've also recently beat the Wild as well. That was a bad loss there.
And the final game of the regular season is that following Tuesday, which is night two of a back-to-back, where you jump on a plane after you're playing St. Louis, you fly home, you get home at 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, sleep in your own bed before you have morning skate and you host the Anaheim Ducks, who, of course, as of right now, are leading the Pacific Division and very well could be in a spot over the next 12 days.
Yep.
Where they could be anywhere from having solidified the top seed in their division.
Yep.
So or they're resting a couple guys.
Or they could
also could fall
to third,
to the point where they're fourth in their division and they're absolutely flailing for their lives.
Oh, yeah.
It really all depends on what happens the next 7 games leading up to the regular season finale in 12 days from now.
If you look at the standings, the only difference between the Ducks and the Wild in the standings, James, is the fact that the Wild have 7 more overtime losses. If you combine overtime losses with regulation losses, the Ducks would be 41-34 and the Wild would be 41-33. So they've won the same amount of games. It's just that the Wild have been able to take 7 more of them into that overtime period and at least get a point out of it. So that's not going to be an easy
loser
game.
Point, baby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's tough because when I think of it, since they lost in overtime, a lot of times I kind of think about these teams and you combine the losses and overtime losses. But at the same time, if you would just go back to the way it was like in the 1980s and maybe 90s before you were born, James, I mean, they'd flat up just go to a tie. You know what I mean? They might play overtime, but if it ended in a tie, it ended in a tie. So it's just one of those things where it's hard to really gauge shootout losses, overtime losses in that third column, how that kind of really stacks up to how the team played in those games. But, you know, the Wild, you know, those back-to-backs that they have to play, those are never easy, especially when one's on the road. Then you follow up the next night at home. From Ottawa down to Detroit on back-to-back days, I mean, that is – I mean, there looks like they're noon games as well on both days as well.
Yeah, so it's weekend, and one's the front end of a prime time or a national television, like, triple header.
Yeah, yeah, on TNT.
On Sunday on TNT. But, yeah, you're looking at the last 12 days of the regular season, including tonight. You have 8 games with 2 back-to-backs, and you – do not have so you play every other night for the next 12 days with the exception of 2 back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it's shaken out, and everybody deals with it, so I'm not complaining by any
no,
means.
I know
when it comes to that, it's just clamp down and stay healthy and get yourself to the finish line, because based off of where you're at in the regular season or in the season standings, I truly believe that it's more about staying healthy than playing good hockey going to the postseason.
Yeah.
I think you need to have a good outing against Dallas on the road specifically. But if you end up in some fashion 4-4, you know, whether you're looking at you go 4-3-1 or 4-2-2 or something like that the last 8, I am more than satisfied with that. Now, if you go 2-4-2, let's say, it's a little bit more concerning for me. But as long as you're playing decent hockey and you're keeping the guys healthy, because you're at a point where, I mean, the Wild legitimately with a win. Now, they've absolutely struggled with Utah. So just get a win and eliminate the possibility of Utah leapfrogging you in the standings.
Yeah.
Clinch your playoff berth and understand that your fate is, barring a collapse from the Avs and some historic run from the Stars, your fate is going to be games 1 and 2 in Dallas again with a bunch of 8:30 p.m. starts on a Tuesday, a Thursday, and a Friday in Dallas on TNT or primetime, wherever channel they decide to put those games on for the first round. And you're going to be in for more or less hockey's version of a war. It really will be.
I mean,
and we've seen this time after time after time, and I know there's quite a few people that are frustrated with the Wild having not gotten out of the first round now in a decade, right? They've made the postseason 9 of the last 10 years, have not gotten out of the first round since, if I remember right, they beat the Blues, was it the 2015 first round, if I remember correctly, before losing the conference semis. But with how the NHL sets it up, and you have your top 3 teams in your division are in one side of a bracket, and then you fill in 2 wild cards beyond that to play the top team out of each respective division, I understand why you do it. It frustrates me to a similar extent as well, and I get it. Gary Bettman, what he's doing, and he's set on it, is he wants the NHL's opening round to mean more. He wants it to be competitive, and it means more. And it really is incredibly competitive for example, if it were to set up like a typical, right, like the MLB, like the NFL, like the NBA, and you would have – Colorado probably playing whoever they're going to play, but everything would be different beyond that. The Wild would end up as the three spot, probably playing the six, and so you just do the math on where things would shake
out.
That's
Vegas right
now. And as of right now, it's Vegas, who just fired a coach to bring in a new one. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily playing great hockey. They're playing. Well, they're 4-4, 4-2 over the last.
If it was just seeded 1-8, we could be playing Vegas. But based on the fact that Utah has a game in hand, it might be Utah right now. Which I don't know. Is that a better? Is that a worse matchup for the Wild rather than the Dallas Stars?
Personally, I wouldn't want to play Utah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wild did beat them 5-0 the last time that they played, but they lost to them 5-2 Utah this season. They're also where's the other
one?
It
was 5-1 or something.
Yeah, there was another one against Utah 6-2. I remember listening to that one on the radio. Yeah, that made me mad.
The interesting thing, though, is if you go back to before your time, before the, in a sense, expansion era of NHL hockey, we were at, 24, 26 teams?
I want to say 26. It's
26.
Because it wasn't like a super clean number.
No, you had five, that'd be 10. 11, 22, might have been 22 or 24, but we had four divisions because that's why Chris Berman always referred to the NFC North in football as the Norris division, because you had the Norris division of the NHL, and that was like Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis. And when you think about how playoffs used to be, Edmonton was in their division. I forget what that one was called.
The Hosers.
No, this wasn't the Smythe division, I don't think. I'm drawing a blank on it. But anyway, Edmonton was in the same division as Calgary. And I became a pseudo fan of the Calgary Flames because they were matched up in a division where they had to go through Edmonton and Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier, et cetera, to get to the Western Conference Finals, although we had Campbell Conference and I'd have to Google the names off the top of my head, but they had their Western Conference back in the day, and you'd have to go through your division to basically win your division playoff wise before you played the other division's winner of their playoff postseason in the conference final, and then move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. And so the NHL did what the NBA did, got rid of this divisional format and made it a top eight in the conference. And they did that for a while. Now they've added a couple extra teams now, like Seattle and I'm drawing a blank. It was Vegas, and then it was Seattle. I can't remember if we got somebody after that. But
You just had Utah.
Moved
from Arizona.
Exactly.
That's most recent.
But when you expand the divisions, instead of having four divisions of four and taking the top eight teams, a division champ plus the next four best teams, and you put it in this two-division format, they're kind of going back to what was the heyday of the NHL when it kind of first burst onto ESPN, in my opinion. Granted, based on my age, that was when you saw the playoffs on ESPN. You had these four divisions across the NHL. You had to basically have a divisional playoff series, the first two, before you got to the conference finals. And so it brings back some nostalgia. But when I see the three best teams in the Western Conference all in the same division, I mean, my concern would be is that we're going to have a Colorado, Dallas, or Minnesota, and they're going to completely boat race a Pacific Division champ, four games to none or four games to one. And then we'll finally get to the Stanley Cup Finals, and we'll see who's the best team out of the East. The East might be a little bit more balanced, but I just think that sometimes I'm so used to the 1-8 seeding of NBA, that's the true seeding for Major League Baseball playoffs. Heck, they even do 1-8 for MLS playoffs. So it just feels like I'd be more comfortable with that, especially when you've got a Wild team that could actually get out of the first round if they have a matchup against a six seed rather than having to go against the Dallas Stars. So, I mean, to me, I temper my frustration of the Wild not getting out of the first round based on the way the playoff format is set up right now. It'd be different if we were a 1-3 seed each year and we couldn't get past a 6-8 seed, but that's not the way it is. Your first round series, you're playing that not only the second best team in your division, you're playing the second best team in the Western Conference, and some may argue
arguably the league.
They might say second best team in the entire league. So I'm not going to be super frustrated if they don't get out of the first round. I will be frustrated as a Wild fan just because I want to see them get out of the first round and continue on a playoff and try and get to the Stanley Cup Finals. But based on the way the format is, if you can pass this divisional round out of the NHL Central Division playoffs, you're going to be well prepared for the Western Conference Finals, if not the Stanley Cup Finals as well.
Consolidated Communications is now Fidium, raising the bar for business connectivity in Fargo. Move forward with confidence. Visit FidiumBusiness.com and fiber up with Fidium. Well, that's also in closing the last 60 seconds mm-hmm. of the show. That's a lot of the reason why Billy G went out and did what he did at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. He goes and he brings in Bobby Brink, who is a winger from Minnesota, from Minnetonka. That could play centerman in a pinch, which helps out tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they went out and got Quinn Hughes to solidify the back end of the defense.
That was well before the
deadline, but at the deadline specifically, bring in Michael McCarron, who's a 6'6", 230-pound centerman,
who
wants to hit everybody.
Yeah.
They brought in Marcus Foligno's older brother, Nick Foligno, who's 6'2", 210.
Yep.
He adds a little bit more beef to the back end as well. And so the Wild went and they solidified a couple spots. You pair them with Zach Bogosian on the back half with Jake Middleton,
mm-hmm.
and you have this beef line that is going to just try and hammer away against the Dallas Stars.
They've made some moves in the traditional sense of the NHL. You need those big bodies to really kind of protect some of your star, tactical, real skilled players, and you're setting yourself up to be able to play any style of game when it comes to matching up against a team in a playoff series. And I think Billy G did that with specifically trying to get past Dallas and Colorado at the front of his mind. So hopefully these moves are what we need to get out of that first round and maybe potentially make a Western Conference final push.
Yeah, that's all we have time for tonight. So enjoy your Easter weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks for tuning in. As always, have a great night and God bless.
Happy Easter, everybody. Yep, you betcha. Bye.